What a kickoff to Pride in Des Moines this weekend. This is amazing. Welcome to First Friday Breakfast Club. I'm Byron Huff, FFBC president. My pronouns are he, him, his. FFB is an association of LGBTQ plus and their allies, formed in 1996 and is a 501c3, making your contributions tax deductible. In 1997, FFBC awarded one $3,000 scholarship. We're awarding a record, $48,000 to 16 remarkable humans this morning. It's amazing. And so now I'd like to call Brad Holland up to introduce our speaker this morning.
Good morning, everyone. As a member of the First Friday Board of Directors, I'm so excited to be able to introduce Sarah Brown-Wessling. There's a lot of you out there. This is intimidating. Good luck, Sarah. She'll be much better at this. I've known Sarah for about a dozen years, and during that time, I've always been amazed by her energy, her drive, and everything she's accomplished. And in fact, I'll highlight just a few because there are too many to take up so much time here. Sarah was named the 2010 National Teacher of the Year, and now Sarah is the director of that prestigious program. Though the program is headquartered in Washington, D.C., Sarah works from Johnston, a suburb here in the metro area. Sarah was a teacher laureate for the Teaching Channel, in addition to being a facilitator, designer of professional learning, consultant, and a 25-year veteran of the high school English classroom. You can read more about Sarah's accomplishments and her career if you go to sarahbrownwessling.com. There's some really great insights, including what she notes to be her story. And she says that teaching story didn't begin with a decision. Rather, it was a realization of something I must have always known. I didn't choose to be a teacher. I was meant to be a teacher. Sarah wears so many hats, but her bio notes that her most important role is to be mom to Evan, Lauren, and Zachary. Evan and Lauren are here today, and they keep her grounded and laughing. She is an avid runner and reader and finds somehow the time for live music, traveling, and everyday adventuring. As I said, today, Sarah is joined by daughter Lauren and son Evan. You'll hear more about Lauren a little later as we honor our scholarship awards. On a very, very, very personal note, last July, my 91-year-old mother, Bonnie Holland, passed away. This year, my husband, Joe, and I were very honored to be able to spend a scholarship in her honor. I will say, as a son and son-in-law to a parent, and to all of you as parents, we're just gushing with pride for our honorees this morning, as I'm sure Sarah is. So please join me in welcoming Sarah to the podium.
Good to be here with all of you. So, you know, teachers, some of you may know this, but teachers have a lot of sayings about teaching, a lot of sayings about the work that we do. And one of the things that teachers oftentimes say to each other is that no one can learn until they know they are cared about. And I think that this is viscerally true. I will tell you, as a baby teacher, sometimes I refer to my early teaching self as my baby teacher Sarah self, because there was a lot that I knew and understood, but I couldn't name when I was a really young teacher. And this was one of those things, this belief that my students, if they didn't trust me, if they didn't know that they were seen, they were not going to be vulnerable enough to learn. And so as a very young teacher, I sat out on this quest to figure out, how do I create spaces of community? How do I create a classroom that every single person who walks through those doors can feel seen and can feel safe? Because high school does not always feel safe to students who are there, right? And if there's one thing that I know for sure, it is that in order for people to learn, in order for young people to flourish, they have to have a space. And as every important lesson that I have learned from teaching, they have all come from my students. My students taught me what it meant to create safe spaces. I remember one day when my student John, so I've been teaching for a long time. So yeah, like this is in the, you know, like the early 2000s. He comes in, he has blue hair, black fingernails and black lipstick on. And I'm like, and he walks in and a lot of the other students are like, what is going on? And I went up to him, I said, John, tell me about that fingernail polish. I love your hair. And he got this huge smile on his face, which was great. But here's the other thing that happened. The other students in the classroom heard that it was okay to have black fingernail polish, blue hair, and black lipstick on in our space. And creating community is about making sure that we see people. I remember another day. So we act out a lot of things, right? We do drama. It's English class. We read, we write, but we do a lot of drama things too. And so I remember one day my student who now goes by Charlie knew that we were going to be dramatizing something that we had been reading. And he volunteered to take on this role and he was so excited and he had prepped for it. And I will never forget the moment when he walked out of class to change his clothes because he wanted to put on a costume. So he put on a costume and he had on a hat and he had on a tie and he had on a vest and he had on pants. And I saw Charlie in the way that he wanted to be seen for the first time that day when he was wearing the clothes that he wanted to wear in the space that he wanted to be. He wanted to be seen for who he was. And I remember thinking, I will never forget this moment. I will never forget the lesson that you just taught me. You know, since then I've been able to keep in touch with Charlie. He transitioned as an adult and I've been able to share what he taught me on that day. I think my students have taught me that to belong is to be heard and to be heard is to have been invited. I'm also a child of rock and roll and love the 90s, kind of that grunge era. I know I am speaking about some things people in this room do not know, but I'm seeing some others are giving me the thumbs up. All right, I belong in this space. Okay. So anyway, in the 90s, there is this band. It's called Blind Melon, and they have this famous song. It's called No Rain. And some of you who now just live on TikTok, there used to be a thing called MTV on Fridays. I would, you know, watch TRL and, you know, and watch these music videos. Anyway, so here's the deal. There's this music video, and it is the most perfect music video I think I have ever seen. So the song goes along, and maybe later you can like look up what the song sounds like. Anyway, so because you definitely do not want me to hum a tune. But this little girl starts in the music video, and she's in this bumblebee costume. And she goes to one place, and she's so excited in her bumblebee costume. She goes to this one place. And like people just kind of look at her kind of strangely. And she goes to another place and people kind of look at her strangely. And so she just kind of keeps walking through her day in her bumblebee costume. And this you know, really energetic, red-headed young girl that started with, you know, shoulders that were broad and standing tall by the end of the day, she slumped over and she's just kind of like crawling through her day. She finally gets to this field. And when she gets to this field, she sees all of these other people in bumblebee costumes. And she realizes she's found her people. She is in a space where she belongs. In my work with the National Teacher of the Year program, this is one of the first stories that I always tell the teachers that I get to work with, that you have now found your bumblebees. because in all kinds of different ways, I think we can feel like we are on the outside instead of on the inside. We are not seen even though we know fully who we are. And when I think about the importance of belonging, when I think about what that means, I always go back to that blind melon costume and that little girl bouncing just through this field of bumblebees, knowing that she belongs. If you are a person, and if you are a human, this has happened to you, but if you are a person who has ever felt like you didn't belong, my guess is that some healing has had to happen, or some healing needs to happen. And I think the way that we heal is through connection, right? We heal through connection and we heal through belonging. I think connection is tough because it requires vulnerability. A lot of times I think about this, strangely, I think about this in the morning when I put on, you know, I usually put on some kind of necklace in the morning. And I think to myself, you know, before something can link, right? Before something can connect, it has to first open. I have to open that clasp before it can ever connect to anything else. And I think about how essential and important it is in all of our spaces to be able to make that connection and how important it is to belong. I had an incredible reminder of what this is all about. And I will tell you, other than my students, the people who teach me the most important lessons are my children. And so Lauren has given me permission to tell this story. I just want to say that. Yes. We have a lot of conversations about consent in our home and what I can post and what I can't post. I've been given permission to tell this story. So about 1 year ago, I was feeling like a really horrible mom because all kinds of people were getting excited to go to Taylor Swift concerts. And I had not secured any tickets to a Taylor Swift concert for my Swiftie. Are there any Swifties in this room? Are there any Swifties? I'm feeling, you do not have to be shy. You do not have to be shy. Okay. And so in the midst of my, you know, in the midst of feeling bad about this, I happen to open up my phone and I see that an acquaintance of mine is selling a single Taylor Swift ticket. So Lauren, I look at Lauren, I said, do you want it? And she said, yes. And I said, okay. So I'm just doing this very quickly before I really think about what this means, right? And so we're able to get the ticket, but then I realize, okay, this means we have one ticket. This concert is in Kansas City. This is gonna be a stadium of 70,000 plus people. I do not have a ticket. So what is going to happen and what did happen was, you know, we get to the concert and I'm going to have to watch it from, or listen to it rather, from the parking lot as she can get in there and go. So those of you who know anything about Taylor Swift and know anything about her concerts, there's a lot of ritual. Some of that ritual includes what you wear, you choose an era, you dress up, right? There's a lot of sequins at Taylor Swift concerts. There's a lot of fringe at Taylor Swift concerts. My wonderful Lauren can appreciate sequins on another person, but I don't think she would ever be caught dead in it herself. There are also these things called friendship bracelets. And so there's this tradition of, before you go to the concert, you make these friendship bracelets and you use little beads and you write sayings on them. And then you go and then you have to trade all of your bracelets, okay? It's a deal. I don't entirely understand it, but it is a deal. So we're getting ready to go to the concert. The whole week, she's making bracelets. There are bracelets everywhere, right? Enough bracelets to go from her wrist to her elbow, I think. And so we get to the concert and I said, oh, are you gonna trade your bracelets? And she gets really quiet and she said, Mom, I don't know how to trade bracelets with people who wear sequins. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, I don't wear sequins. And I maybe don't, I don't look like a lot of the people who wear fringe and sequins. And what if they don't want to trade a bracelet with me? What if I ask them and they just look at me and say no? I said, well, I think that there's the thing we can do. I fully believe in this group of 70,000 people that you will find some folks that you feel like you can go up and talk to and trade a bracelet. I said, but I think we probably should practice. So my teacher self never leaves me. I said, I think what we should do is we should walk up and down this parking lot until you find someone that you think you could go up to and you think you could ask about trading bracelets. And so we walk, and it's hot, but we're walking and we're walking and we're walking. And finally we come up to these two young women. They're older than Lauren, younger than me. That is a wide range there. We come up to these two women. They have on white overalls, no sequins, no fringe. And Lauren says, I think I can ask them. I said, well, then why don't you? And so she goes up and she trades her bracelet and she comes back and she said, I did it. I did it. I said, yeah, you did do it. And she said, but now I'm going to have to do the rest of them without you. I said, yes, you are. So we walk her up to the entrance. I say goodbye. She goes off to the 70,000 people on her own. I go to stand in a very long, hot merchandise line for 2.5 hours. And probably about a half hour later, I get a text from her and it says, Mom, I have traded all of my bracelets. There is nothing more important than belonging to yourself. It's important to belong to others. Taylor Swift concert reminds me that we can find connection when we go and look for it. But Brené Brown tells me that we have to belong to ourselves. She says, belonging doesn't require you to change who you are. It requires you to be who you are. What my daughter has taught me, what my students have taught me, is that it takes courage to be who you are. It doesn't mean that you have to be perfect, but it does mean you have to be honest. And when we are honest with ourselves, we can belong to ourselves. And when we can belong to ourselves, we can belong to other people. I firmly believe that connection and belonging and being seen is all held in our stories. I teach storytelling to all of the state teachers of the year across the country when I teach them how to advocate. I teach storytelling to my students when I ask them to learn to listen to the stories of each other. And I remind them that when we tell a story about ourselves, we are extending trust. When we find ways to tell stories about us, we create communities. So my hope, especially for the young people in this room, is that you will tell your stories. We need your stories. There are people who are younger than you who need your stories. There are people who are older than you who need your stories. And your courage in telling them and owning them will light the way. You are lighting the way, and those stories will continue to do that. I am so proud to be here as a parent, as an ally, as a teacher, as a person who believes that we belong to each other. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Really, that was amazing. Teachers are not appreciated enough for their important role guiding our children as they grow and go on to be productive adults. My own sister was a teacher for 35 years. She retired. She's only 18 months younger than me. So she gets to do what she wants now. The Iron Man on Sunday, not me. everyone wants to feel like they belong and are appreciated. LGBTQ individuals face many hurdles feeling like they belong. Now I would like to introduce Ken Hansen, Scholarship Committee Chair, and Tim Schreck to present our scholarship awards.
Good morning, and it might be a good thing that I'm already starting with tears in my eyes, so here we go. Good morning, everyone. My name is Tim Schreck, member of the 2024 FFBC Scholarship Committee. Students, families, FFBC members, and guests, welcome. We are so happy you've joined us today to honor 16 outstanding student leaders who have significantly fought homophobia and promoted LGBTQ and queer acceptance in their high schools and communities. To all who join us today, we say you are welcome here. You are safe, you are necessary, you are important. We celebrate you today for being exactly the stellar individuals you are meant to be. On to a few acknowledgments. Thank you to our scholarship committee members who put in hours reviewing and deliberating applications this year. With all that's been happening in the Iowa legislature recently, we paid extra attention to each applicant's unique situation, their communities, the opportunities available to them, and the impact of their actions in their environments. We ended up with a broad range of extremely deserving recipients. Will all those involved in the selection committee and the stool presentation sessions please stand or wave and be recognized? We want to thank the members of the fundraising committee for your outreach, as well as every donor to the FFBC scholarship program. Without you, we could not make this happen. We were excited to set a record for scholarships in 2023, and today we are setting the new record with $48,000 being awarded. Each scholarship awarded today is for $3,000. We especially want to acknowledge that 7 of our 2023 scholarships have been underwritten for the full amount. It would be awesome to fully spotlight each underwriter, but again, we have 16 students to recognize. So while we absolutely love and appreciate these donors, we hope it's enough to name them here and to express our collective appreciation for their support. Underwriters include Trudy Holman Hurd, through the G. David and Trudy.
Okay, today's all about these wonderful young adults, so let's finally get to it. Awardees, when we announce your name, please come to the side of the podium where Tim is here, as we share a few words about you. Once you're presented with your award, we will take a photo or two, and then you can head back to your seat. When we are finished with all the presentations, we would like you all to come back up and receive our collective appreciation and a group photo or two. Parents and guests, you're invited to take photos all morning long. Feel free to move around the room if you need a better shot. And if you have time, after our awards event is completed, you and your families are invited to enjoy the art and history of this amazing facility, Hoyt Sherman Place. Okay, now to the scholars. We will be introducing awardees here with us today by alphabetical first name. So, Tyler, hang on, you're last. Our first 2024 scholarship recipient is joining us on Zoom, Remy Scheffer. Remy is one of two awardees from Algona High School and identifies as queer and non-binary. Remy began their high school days in a small western Oklahoma town with one other friend who identified as queer. Moving to a new state and a new school their sophomore year felt like a lot as a non-binary 16-year-old. But what they found was a welcoming environment. From day one, Remy presented their true self and helped staff and students come to understand the complexities of being non-binary. They got involved in all the activities and grew to be a confident presence in the classrooms of Algona High. One reference stated, Remy is one of the toughest and nicest students, and that it has been a privilege to watch Remy grow into the person they are today. Well, Remy, we feel very fortunate to have learned about you and only wish you could have been here with us today. Congratulations.
Okay, we said we're going to do alphabetical, but we're already going off track. Jasper Wirth, if you could join us up here. Jasper has some classes he needs to get to after this presentation, so we're going to bring him on up first. So Jasper identifies as a trans man and also a graduate of Algona High School. A supportive group of friends and family willing to learn all they could about Jasper has helped him to be the confident, accomplished person he is today. But with no GSA group or at school or LGBTQIA community mentors, they decided that their path would be a solo path and to, quote, spread the word just by being myself. Jasper, with family assistance, found the clothes that felt right, participated in all the things he loved to do in school, and found a great job working at a daycare center. He's Jasper in a conservative community. He's dead kids. And he is well known, appreciated for the work he does, and is seen as a member of that community. The daycare kids and their parents have grown to love him. And that is creating huge community impact just by being yourself. Thank you, Jasper. Okay, here we go. AJ Keeler, can you join us, please? AJ is a graduate of Bondurant Farrar High School and identifies as a non-binary aromantic lesbian. Sadly, bathrooms are still a topic of debate in our schools, so AJ fought for access to the single-stall bathrooms in her school. That's the GSA-involved advocacy part of AJ's story. They also found their strongest voice as an aromantic individual, presenting the topic in a state speech competition and receiving a 1 rating. This led to creation of a zine focused on the topic and sharing information that helped friends and others to feel seen, understood, and authentic. A teacher described AJ as being unafraid to participate in discussions about LGBTQ plus rights. That sounds like the type of fighter we need in our corner, and it might help that they love weightlifting. AJ hopes to make a career as an actor. Congratulations, AJ.
Brody Pettig. Brody identifies as queer and joins us today as a graduate of Grinnell High School. Brody is the recipient of our scholarship underwritten by David Cotton. Growing up in a home focused on education, advocacy, and equity, Brody was exposed to and absorbed some valuable early life lessons and ran with them. Brody acted on every opportunity for advocacy and leadership, participating in the student council for 3 years, student body president his senior year, the captain of the soccer team his junior year. Through his GSA involvement, Brody initiated a school protest day against the Iowa legislature, inspiring many students and staff to wear black clothes and pink triangle pins as a sign of solidarity. 2 referral comments say it best. Brody is an activist, and justice is one of Brody's deepest motivators. Thank you and congratulations, Brody.
Oh, hi, Claire. Claire Updahl. Claire is a recent graduate of Sioux Center High School and identifies as bisexual. Claire is today's recipient of the scholarship underwritten by Trudy Holman Hurd. At a very young age, Claire saw the inequity of social and religious messaging reducing members of the queer community to second-class citizens or worse. During her time in high school, Claire became known as a strong advocate for all members of the LGBTQIA plus community. Her advocacy, which she calls her moral dogma, came through various school writing projects, including a hero essay on pioneering queer leader Marsha P. Johnson and a slam poem criticizing Florida's Don't Say Gay legislation. Claire is courageously public in her advocacy for all marginalized communities. Reference letters celebrated Claire's drive to go against the grain of a rural Northwest Iowa community. In a land where the negative messages can weigh down on so many, Claire has been a steadfast beacon of light, might, and right. Way to go, Claire.
Delaney Clark. Delaney joins us today as a graduate of Roosevelt High School here in Des Moines. Delaney is the recipient of the scholarship underwritten by the Polk County Community Betterment Grant. At a very early age, they experienced homophobia within their family, witnessing an uncle being rejected for being gay. As she grew and presented herself as openly queer, Delaney found a mix of positive and less supportive responses in her family. But on the rugby team, it's all good. Delaney has played for 3 years and was the captain of the girls' rugby team their senior year. As captain, Delaney made it her mission to create a safe space for other queer team members, as well as every other player on the pitch. Through team dinners, open conversations, and shared experiences, Delaney and their teammates created a welcoming community. So honestly, I would guess that most of us in this room don't really understand rugby. I know I don't. But Delaney, we do understand that you made it a safe place for all to be part of. Congratulations.
Elliot Martin. Elliot here. Oh, there we are. Okay. I am discombobulated. Hi, Elliot. Elliot identifies as a trans male and is a graduate of Cedar Falls High School. By the age of 13, Elliot understood that he is transgender. His circle of family and friends were very supportive, but beyond that circle, there were challenges. Elliot faced them directly with confidence and courage. Over the next few years, Elliot held a role in the school's GSA, fought for a gender-neutral bathroom at the school, and participated as a member of the school district's equity committee. Elliot became a public face for the local transgender community, sharing the day-to-day realities of life as a transgender person, as well as the burdens and impacts of legislative decisions. Speaking to community groups at local pride events and with governor's conference attendees, Elliot is driven by his sense of equity and advocacy for the entire queer community. Thank you and congratulations, Elliot, for all your amazing work.
Faith Miller. Faith recently graduated from Lisbon High School. Being a lesbian in a small eastern Iowa town can feel isolating, but Faith was driven by her sense of equity to join the Joy Club, Lisbon's diversity student group. A mighty gang of 8 to 9 students advocated for safety and better conditions in the women's restroom and for wider acceptance of all students. Membership in the Joy Club led Faith to understand their individual power and be their true self for all to see. So Faith let their light shine. One of Faith's references told us he chose to write the letter for Faith before even being asked. Her teacher witnessed the difference Faith made in the halls of Lisbon High, calling them a safe space for any student needing support, acceptance, and belonging. We see it too, Faith. And we see great success for years to come. Congratulations. Lauren Wessling. And I'm going to go off script because, Lauren, my youngest daughter is a Swiftie. So I understand your passion. My husband, Wade, and I get berated sometimes for not knowing enough about Taylor Swift. And I did buy tickets for one concert of the two that she has made it to. She drove to Nashville for one of them. So I don't know, Sarah, if you get all the emails after purchasing a ticket, but third party. Well, I get all the emails from Taylor Swift because apparently I'm part of this Swift Nation too. So as you know, Lauren graduated from Johnston High School and identifies as queer. Lauren is today's recipient of the scholarship sponsored by Brad Holland and Joe Rates in memory of Bonnie Holland. Coming to understand her sexuality helped Lauren to become an extreme advocate for the LGBTQIA community. In school, Lauren led the CORE, which was Community of Racial Equity student group, and ensured that there was awareness of the intersectionality between BIPOC and queer issues. When the school district actively shut down diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives, the CORE and GSA groups surveyed students to identify inequities facing queer and BIPOC students. These groups also created a student walkout day to protest legislative actions, and Lauren was able to provide firsthand updates on these legislative measures, working as a Senate page this past session. Thank you for being there in the front lines of the fight. Congratulations, Lauren.
Luke Muggenberg. These kids are great. They all know they're alphabetically in line. They're great. So Luke is a graduate of Linmar High School and identifies as asexual. For 2 years, Luke led the Spectrum GSA group at Linmar and brought great impact to the halls of the school. When other students tore down posters celebrating Transgender Visibility Week, Luke and the Spectrum members created more posters. Then they organized a school protest, joined by over 200 staff and students, and showing the haters that they would not have it their way. Luke's advocacy and impact came through in many ways through his essays and his references. In addition, our scholarship committee appreciated having our eyes open to some of the realities of asexuality. Luke reminds us to exercise caution when putting any member of the LGBTQIA community into an assigned box. Thanks, Luke, for being an advocate and a teacher. Congratulations.
Meredith Shear.
I'm going to let you sneak through.
Meredith is an openly queer, non-binary graduate of Woodbine High School with a graduating class size of 37 students. Meredith was blessed by queer members on both sides of their family, so while coming out seemed somewhat natural, identifying as non-binary took a little more time. And outside their family, Meredith did not find much queer community in their town or school. They found community through opportunities in nearby Omaha and Council Bluffs. What they did recognize, though, was a necessity to be an openly queer model for the younger kids and classmates, and they expressed themselves through their award-winning art, music, and theatrical involvement. Per Meredith, being out is more than just living as your true self. They believe there is a responsibility to be a resource, to be seen, and to be a safe space for anyone who needs it. Sometimes being yourself is the most impactful accomplishment. Congratulations, Meredith.
We're going to do Shemaiah.
We list you as Shemaiah, so, but you're here, we're going. And ready? This is Shemaiah Morgan. Shemaiah Morgan, or Maya, identifies as a lesbian and recently graduated from Central DeWitt High School. As a person of color, Maya has to be extra attentive to her surroundings, of the biases that can present themselves and her response to them. She has also faced personal challenges with her birth family, but through it all, Maya's need to lead simply could not be held back. She spent 4 years on the school's student council, the last two as vice president and then president. She's an executive committee member of the DeWitt Comanche Youth Drug Prevention Coalition and represented the organization at a drug use prevention summit in Washington, D.C. And while this was all going on, she earned her high school diploma and an associate's degree in May. Taking on all the leadership roles Maya has, while coming to terms with her sexuality over the years, sounds kind of daunting, but for Maya, that's just leadership. Congratulations. Owen Schriever. Owen is a gay man who recently graduated from Ogden High School with a graduating class of 61 students. Owen is the recipient of the scholarship underwritten by John Charles and David Nelson. Owen came out as gay on a youth mission trip to the loving surprise and support of his pastor parents. He is a successful football player and musical performer. And in high school, many people would rest on either of those laurels. But Owen also was a leading member of Ogden High's Alliance Club, focused on equity for all and making it safe for other kids to join. He is a frequent participant in protests, hearings, or other political activities related to the legislative actions harmful to the queer community. Mostly, he is a respected member of his high school community and beyond, having demonstrated that you can be all the things you are or choose to be, including a proudly open, sporty, musical, artistic, literate, and empathic member of the LGBTQIA community. We're glad you're on our team, Owen. Congratulations.
Rebecca Schurz. Rebecca joins us as a recent graduate of Carlisle High School and identifies as bisexual. Rebecca is awarded the scholarship underwritten by Jane Ann Cotton. Rebecca will challenge and confront you, not in a threatening way, more in a let's make sure you'll have all the facts before you spew hate kind of way. She has been the advocate's voice in the halls of Carlisle High School, rooting out inequity and bias. Beyond that, she has been a featured speaker at the 2023 protest rally at the Capitol, has testified in legislative hearings, and convinced her school board and community to remove book banning members. One reference celebrated Rebecca's belief in supporting the queer and other marginalized communities, her integrity, and her natural ability to lead. I don't think you'll find any arguments here, Rebecca. We are on your side. Congratulations. We're actually going to take a break. Trinity Gillis. Trinity joins us today as a graduate of Spencer High School. She identifies as gay and agender. Trinity is the recipient of the scholarship underwritten by Phil Bronner and Ted Johnson. What we saw in Trinity is a will-do attitude. Their freshman year, Trinity completed a writing assignment on her chosen topic about the impacts of homophobia on queer kids and how a GSA can make a difference. Then she thought, we need a GSA. So she approached a trusted teacher who then involved school administration and in their sophomore year helped to form the first GSA at Spencer High School. Trinity worked with other students to create a thriving organization, focusing this past year on establishing a chain of leadership for the GSA to continue. Soon, Trinity became a resource for others in the community. The library reached out about creating LGBTQIA safe spaces, and the junior high is working on their own GSA. One reference put it best: Spencer is a better place for having a GSA. All thanks to you, Trinity. Congratulations. Tyler, I'm going to have you wait just a second. Tim doesn't know about this part of the program. We're going to take a short break in these presentations because Tim is moving out of Iowa soon, and I want to take this moment to recognize Tim Schreck for his service to the Breakfast Club and the Scholarship Committee. Tim has been a part of the Scholarship Committee for many years, 10, I think, both as a member and as the chair of the committee. A few years ago, the chair at the time had to step away for personal reasons on very short notice. The FFBC board reached out to Tim to see if he could once again chair the committee on very short notice. He stepped up and fulfilled the role once again and has been a wonderful mentor to me when I stepped into the committee chair role. He not only continued to serve on the committee, but provided me with resources, communication templates, and timelines that have made the transition so much easier. One of the things I'm going to miss most is the script that he produces for these breakfast presentations. I know you will all agree that he has a gift of pulling out the accomplishments of each scholarship winner and letting you get to know them better in the short time we have together this morning. If you could all join me in thanking Tim and wishing him well on his future move, I would appreciate it. Thank you again, Tim.
Thank you. That was completely unexpected. So thank you. So Tyler, I'm a mess. Come on up. Tyler Pittman. Tyler recently graduated from Waukee Northwest High School and identifies as trans non-binary. Tyler took on leadership of the school GSA as a sophomore when the school reopened in 2021. The first years were spent building membership and creating a safe space for all students. In 2023, after applying for and receiving substantial grant funds from the It Gets Better project, Tyler led creation of the Pride Outside Festival held in October. This event was a first for the city of Waukee, bringing together LGBTQIA supporting organizations and providing a safe space for students and community members to meet, share, and learn about queer-focused opportunities. This was the crowning achievement in Tyler's work to create a more inclusive environment for the Waukee student body. Oh, and as a side gig, Tyler also led the school newspaper, which was recently awarded a top prize from the Iowa High School Press Association. Congratulations, Tyler. And there they are, 16 of Iowa's brightest stars, each demonstrating that being your true self is the foundation of creating change and making an impact. Please join me once again in congratulating all of our 2024 FFBC scholarship recipients. Awardees and families, please remain on hand for some official group photos inside and outside, and feel free to snap individual and family photos as well. Scholars, please get to know each other, share info. We hope you see one another as resources in your coming college journeys and beyond. Then, if you're interested, spend some time here at the beautiful Hoyt Sherman Gallery and Theater. Thanks to everyone who attended today, and please spread the good word that there is hope and joy in the state of Iowa. Happy Pride.
Wow. As every year, it just seems like we get better. thank you, Kim, Ken and Tim. I would have loved to have had any one of the students in my school when I was a young gay man who didn't understand why I was different, but that was the 70s, so it was a long time ago. I date myself. On our website, ffbciowa.org, we do have the bios of all the scholars this morning, and photos will be shared, and so I know everyone may not have gotten what they wanted photo-wise. Also, if you'd like to support the scholarships for next year, your program has a QR code you can scan and donate now, or share it with others and let them know that you feel this is an important thing to support. I would also like to applaud the family that's here to support these brave students. Your presence means more than you know to our scholars and their future success. I have no doubt these young people will go on to make a difference in the world. I'd invite you to go to our website, ffbciowa.org, to see upcoming speakers and join us. And you'll also get a newsletter, monthly newsletter, and you'll see who's speaking and so forth. And we offer Zoom. So if you're not from the area, you can join us via Zoom and see the speaker. New technology. So that's all I have this morning. Thank you. Happy Pride, and have a wonderful weekend.